This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udama. Connecticut's Linda McMahon says the final mission of the U.S. Department of Education, she now heads, is an overhaul.
You know, it's a big deal if you're going to lose some of this federal funding potentially, or if it starts to be scaled back, how much is Connecticut going to have to make up? They seem to be, they're paying attention to this, they're thinking about this, but I don't know if we know the specifics at this point.
That's Lisa Hagen, the Connecticut Mirror's federal policy reporter. She and her colleague Jessica Harkey have done a deep dive into how Connecticut will be left to pick up the pieces after Linda McMahon's U.S. Department of Education overhaul. More to come after this.
Hi, I'm Bruce Putterman, publisher of the Connecticut Mirror. Here at the Connecticut Mirror, we do more than just cover the news. As a statewide news organization, we connect people. We introduce people from Wilton to people in Willimantic. We show New London residents what they have in common with New Milford residents. We connect folks in North Branford with folks in North Canaan. If you believe in the importance of connecting people throughout the state, please make a donation to CT Mirror today. Thank you.
Hello, Lisa. Trump's education secretary, Linda McMahon, took the helm at the department and immediately sent out an email to the staff saying their final mission would be an overhaul. The next day, half the staff were laid off. So she's carrying out President Trump's promise to disband the agency. Is that why you decided to look into this and what it means for Connecticut?
Yeah, I was already actually looking into the story before the layoffs, and it kind of coincided as I and Jessica were reporting out the story, because still as we're speaking right now, there's a pending executive order that is aiming to dismantle the education department. And so as we talk about, and as others have reported, that Congress needs to be the one that ultimately ends any federal agency that is in federal statute. And so a lot of people are seeing the mass layoffs, cutting about half of the staff, as really the first step in trying to get to that executive order of, you know, quote, dismantling the education department. And so we had been hearing a lot about what this could look like, what this can mean. And so, you know, now again, coinciding with our reporting, we have a better idea of what it would look like at the education department with, you know, at least at this point, half the staff cut, but obviously still a lot of unknown answers.
Now, what does the U.S. Department of Education do for Connecticut?
Yeah, and so one thing I want to start from the top is that ultimately states and really local districts control education. And so it's not prescribing certain curriculum. It's not, you know, running the day-to-day operations of schools in Connecticut or really anywhere in the U.S., but it does provide a lot of federal funding. And so I think a lot of times when you're hearing about education funding at the federal level, it's these Title I funds. It goes to school districts with higher concentrations of low-income students. You also hear about the special education law that fulfills IEPs. It ensures, and again, this is a legally binding thing, but it ensures that students with disabilities can have a free and fair access to public education. And so, you know, we hear about that in terms of federal funding, but it also, they have an Office of Civil Rights. And so that deals with a lot of complaints and investigations at the federal level and looking into schools that get those federal dollars. And it also does a lot of research. And so I think those are some of the areas where can be most impacted without as much staff or without a federal education department.
And the amount of money that school districts get, it varies, you know, the amount of federal aid that comes directly to school districts in Connecticut. What's the difference? You have certain districts that get a lot more, certain districts that get a lot less. How does this work out?
Exactly. It's all through a formula. But I mean, when you start to dig into the data of Connecticut, and I'm not sure if this mirrors out in other places, but a lot of the biggest cities in Connecticut really get some of the most federal funding. And so you start looking at Waterbury was a pretty probably the most glaring example of this, where 22% of their education funding comes from the federal government. And again, this varies town by town, city by city, but at least for Waterbury, it is predominantly Title I funding. And again, that maybe tracks differently for different towns, but also, you know, elsewhere, Hartford, Bridgeport, New Haven, those are the places that get anywhere from 15 to 20%, again, of their education funding coming from the federal level. On average in Connecticut, it's more around 7.4%. And so, you know, Connecticut gets about, at least in the past school year, $550 million from the federal level. But again, it's pretty disproportionate depending on where you're looking at the state, and you're seeing those be really felt in the cities.
And the cities are the school districts that can least afford to have any cuts, because taxes are pretty high in the cities, and a lot of the education burden falls on local taxes.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing everyone's kind of thinking about is, you know, does the state or even localities need to step in if these federal dollars go away? And so, again, I want to emphasize that when you're looking at things like Title I or that special education law, these are things that are enshrined in law. These are things that Linda McMahon, the Secretary of the Education Department, has said will continue to be funded. So these things will continue, at least, you know, for the time being, as long as they don't go away, you know, by Congress. But Congress is the one that is appropriating all these federal dollars. And so does that start to scale back?
But if you don't have the staff to implement the funding, how is the funding going to be implemented? Because there's a lot of oversight over how this money is used on the local level. And a lot of that oversight comes from the U.S. Department of Education.
Exactly. And I think that's the fear, too, is that, again, this money has been appropriated. Congress has to keep funding these programs. But if most of these officers, the staff are wiped away, if they're, again, if they're even moved under other federal agencies, these might be disruptions. Again, you might not see money be wiped away, but are you going to be able to get this money promptly? Are you going to be able to make sure there's oversight so there's not fraud or misuse of these funds? That's where it really becomes a problem.
So, Lisa, what about for parents who have special ed students? How do they deal with this? How do they deal with this now? Most of their interaction is with the local school districts, right?
Yeah, and again, that specifically when we're looking at the special education law that's underneath the Department of Education, again, this is something that has been mandated under federal law by Congress. These things will have to continue. But again, you know, do these funds start to go away in future appropriation cycles if Congress wants to pull back funding? I mean, we're seeing not just in education, but across the board, the congressional Republicans want to cut funding. And so these cuts will have to come from somewhere. A lot of them are aimed at a lot of these domestic social services kind of programs and in education as well. And so, you know, you just, for the time being, these things will continue. But again, there's the fear when you look at special education, this law funds social workers, paraprofessional. These are the people that are in the schools with their students, helping them, creating these individualized education programs, also known as IEPs. I mean, these are legally binding doctrines. These are things that have to be implemented by law, but you do have to wonder. And I think there's fears of slowdowns or disruptions on this front.
Now, how's the state dealing with this? How's the state legislature dealing with it? Do we have more state funding that's being talked about right now?
I think right now it's feeling a little fluid. I mean, the governor, the Connecticut's own state education department, other stakeholders who play a big role in this, they're all looking to this. I think they're also wondering the same thing, where their federal dollars could stand, where the U.S. Department of Education stands. They say that they're prepared to fill in the gaps and to fill in any holes that might emerge from all of this. I don't, again, know what that's going to particularly look like. I don't know, how much funding they're going to have. It's a big deal if you're going to lose some of this federal funding potentially, or if it starts to be scaled back. How much is Connecticut going to have to make up? They seem to be, they're paying attention to this, they're thinking about this, but I don't know if we know the specifics at this point. But it seems like the governor, the state agencies, and the state legislature will have to come together to address this if that's how it's going to shake out.
And you quote the Connecticut's Commissioner, Education Commissioner Charlene Russell Tucker, saying that shifting the responsibilities from the federal government to the states, especially without any specifics from the White House, would be a very significant undertaking. But it seems as if they're trying to prepare for that.
Exactly. And, you know, others I spoke to on this front, you know, they're realizing that, you know, within Connecticut itself, there's already understaffing at the state agency level. And so if Connecticut takes on this responsibility, you know, do they have enough staff to do what they're already, that's already under their control? And then some, whether it's, you know, taking on more control of federal funding, or just, you know, if you're having more civil rights violations and complaints, and that, you know, I've seen that being suggested as something that maybe Connecticut would take more responsibility of. Do you even have the staffing levels for it? And at this point, I don't know if anyone knows, but that's something that I think they're trying to prepare for.
Well, interesting. So basically, it's still a bit murky how things are going to work out. Thank you so much, Lisa. Appreciate your doing this reporting.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebon Udana, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor. WSHU's Alicia Daddario and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.